Welcome to the Millionaire Mindcast, where we broadcast weekly interviews with millionaire minds from across the globe to empower you on your journey of unlocking a rich and fulfilling life. It's time to unleash your millionaire within. Now, here's your host, Maddie A.
It's time! Okay. I'm not Bruce Buffer, but guess what? I got a treat for you guys today because we got my man Bruce Buffer in the house, the legend of the Octagon and also a legendary entrepreneur. You guys are in for a treat today because we get to hear some really cool pieces of his story, which I'm going to share with you guys on what you can expect here in the next few minutes. But with that being said, if you are new to the Millionaire Mindcast or you haven't texted me yet, hit me up at 844-447-1555 so we can connect directly. Yes, I respond to all text messages, as well as if you have not entered into our monthly contest giveaway of over $1,100 in prizes each and every month, free to do so. Just head over to go.millionairemindcast.com. All kinds of cool stuff included in that giveaway: planners, books, courses, gift cards, coaching calls, all kinds of fun stuff. So you can check that out at go.millionairemindcast.com. With that being said, I got to tell you, I was fired up to be able to connect with Bruce Buffer. He's been somebody that really, actually, Michael Buffer, his brother, back in the day with the wrestling and boxing, was a legend. And Bruce is the man behind the legend. And even cooler, he became the man who stepped out from behind the legend and created his own legendary path within the UFC and Octagon. And we all know what that trajectory of that company and that business and that sport has been on over the last decade. And Bruce was there from the very beginning. But guess what? It was not all what people expected it was. This man struggled and overcame challenges and showed up and played full out every single day for his dream, and just has a really cool entrepreneurial journey that I know many of you guys are going to love listening to and relating to and be inspired by. And we talk about all kinds of cool stuff in relation to his story with his brother and how they built this massive business and brand, the Let's Get Ready to Rumble brand, and kind of their taglines and their trademarks. Over $400 million in sales. Just take a second to let that sink in, right? Two announcers that have built a business like that and a brand like that that is global, and some really cool learning lessons along the way from other people, other professional athletes, other business owners that he's been in proximity to over the years, world-class individuals, right? And how he has learned from them and applied those to his own journey, as well as the adversity that he's overcome. We talk about the importance of competition, health, family, all things that I know each and every one of us deal with on a daily basis, and just a very, very cool mentality that he employs every single day. Extremely humble is one thing that comes to mind when I think of Bruce. Just wanting to give back, his passion for what he does, his ability to go out with a no matter what, whatever it takes, attitude and mindset to achieve the goals that he's wanted to achieve and obviously has achieved and then some in his life and his career. We talk about his routine. We talk about what God means to him, his favorite athletes, just some really cool stuff. His three-put theory, I was very interested and intrigued by that, the difference between being realistic and optimistic. You hear a lot of people, you know, dreaming big and having big goals, and then you hear other individuals saying, yeah, be more realistic though. And you never want to be that person who's crushing someone's dreams, but he talks about his approach on being realistic versus being optimistic. Lots of cool things in this episode that I know you guys are really going to enjoy. So be sure to tag Bruce if you enjoy this episode. Share it with somebody. Tag Bruce on social media. Tag myself on social media at Official Matty A. If you have not reached out to me yet, hit me up at 844-447-1555. And if you haven't entered to get more information on our wealth building experiences and events for people looking to become whole life millionaires, you can text the word Wealth Camp, one word, Wealth Camp, to 844-447-1555. Thanks for tuning in today, and let's continue that march to million and beyond right after this quick message. Welcome into the show, Mr. Bruce Buffer. How you doing, man?
I am good. Glad to be on. Thanks, Matthew.
So
obviously, many people know who you are. You are the voice of the USC, but you also are a phenomenal entrepreneur and business owner. I am curious where this all started for you before the UFC.
You know, my father never graduated high school, never graduated college, self-taught, probably borderline genius IQ, really high IQ, read incessantly books every week. He wound up running vice president of sales and organizations for Fortune 500 companies when I was a kid. And we moved a lot. We lived in Oklahoma, where I was born in Tulsa. 9 months later, moved to Dallas, where he ran another company and were there for 4 years, went to Philadelphia, which is, I consider my hometown, was there for 5 years, boom, he goes back to Dallas, you know, another big company picks him up. And I love Dallas, spent a lot of time there. Then we go back to Philly. So I spent probably 10, 11 years of my early life in Philadelphia. And at 15, he took another big corporate job and we moved to Malibu, California, which was kind of like culture shock. Right.
Oh, I bet.
It was crazy. I saw surfing in France when I was 11. I knew I would eventually get there because I was a really good swimmer. And then I saw the waves out there and knew I'd learn how to surf. And I saw the girls out there and other things were going to take place. And, you know, it was Baywatch before Baywatch. And all that was my basic past. But growing up with my dad and seeing his entrepreneurial attitude towards everything he went after and the passion or the intensity that he approached each thing had a huge effect on me. And when I was a kid, I'd walk in a room and, like, you know, 6, 7 years old, and my dad was a Marine for 13 years. He served in World War II, Korea, was a drill instructor at Camp Pendleton, sergeant of the brig, the whole bit, had an amazing voice. My brother Michael and I say that our dad had the best voice of all of us, and he's passed now, God bless him. But when I would walk in a room, I'd say, "Hi, Dad." He goes, "Son, project your voice. Shoulders back, chest out. Let them know you're in the room," right? So this had like an effect on me from an early age. Suddenly, he was a leader, and I, you know, there's leaders and there's followers, and I'm not saying anything is negative of either. Not everybody can be a leader because there can only be so many leaders, and you've got to have the followers, which make up the base of the pyramid of life, which is what life's all about. At the top in business, there's CEOs, vice presidents, and all the way down to the people that answer the phones, pack the boxes, you know, all that stuff. Everybody is important because without that base on the bottom, the whole thing falls down, you know, and that's true in a family too. And I'm not talking multi-level pyramid schemes and stuff like that. I'm talking the pyramid of life, you know, which is an energy source that I look at. So when we were together and he was in these businesses, we moved to Malibu, and a year after we moved there, he quit with the money we had in the bank because he was a proven writer. Short stories, and he went back into writing books and screenplays, and he had his first book published within a year. But I remember when my mother gave me $75 to go on a ski trip when I was like 17 to Mammoth, which was good for the gas, the weekend, the condo, the lift tickets. Remember, I'm 62. This is going back to like 1974. And I asked her for $75, and she said, "No, I can't give it to you, son. I don't have it." 2 days later, she walked up to me and handed me $75 in cash, said, "You go on your ski trip, but please don't tell your dad you go on your ski trip that I gave you the money." I wonder why she told me that, right? And 2 weeks later, I got back and I overheard my parents talking late that night about how they couldn't pay the rent, the $575 rent that our house cost in Malibu. We weren't rich, you know, we were middle class, right? But it was because, you know, we were just working and working to survive. And I with the tears that I got listening to that, I basically told myself I would never borrow money from my parents again. I would make my own money and they will never worry about anything because they always took care of me their whole life. And I started a business selling jewelry in school. And because we used to go to collectible artifact and gun shows where my dad built this tremendous business trading and collecting. And that's how he made his money. And we survived in the years as a family, you know, going to different shows on weekends and working the booze and learning how to sell and learning how to talk and learning how to pitch and, you know, wheel and deal and all that kind of stuff at a very young age. And I saw this jewelry booth and this guy was making this cool jewelry and putting it together. And I'm very artistic, I feel. And I went over and I was fascinated by it. And I realized that for $5, I could make a necklace that I could sell for $25, $35 back then. Suddenly, I'm going to school with a jewelry case. I've got all these necklaces I make on a Sunday. And I start clearing $800, $1,000 a month back then. And I'm telling you, if a girl went out with me, we went out on nice dates. You know, we took ski trips. We did everything. And I really believe that you should enjoy yourself from the fruits of your labor. And it taught me then the entrepreneurial spirit I needed, mm-hmm. along with what my dad was teaching. And the couple times as a family, we went broke. I mean, I'm being honest with you. And then we, as a family, worked and came back and survived and lived an amazing life together. It taught me in my teenage years that when you get hit in business and you get knocked down, the ability to get up like Rocky and punch harder and move forward and follow your passions and make things happen. And then when I went into college at 18, I saw a job cardboard, you know, a little 3x5 card, and said, earn $250 to $350 a week selling part-time on the telephone, right? Well, I had a gift of gab. I knew I had a gift of gab, right? So I went in for an interview, and they said, you can start work tomorrow, 5 o'clock. I said, 5 o'clock at night? They go, no, 5 o'clock in the morning. You're going to be calling the East Coast. We're selling office supplies, right? And it was a very legitimate business. It wasn't the scammy business that you see in Wolf of Wall Street and all that. But I went on to become the best salesman within 2 weeks. Because when I walked in, I immediately looked, who's the best guy? Who's making the most money? And I observed him. And I didn't copy him, but I applied those techniques I saw him doing to my own, to develop my own technique. Kind of the same way I did when I became an announcer. I didn't want to copy anybody, but I learned from other people. You know, of course, my legendary brother, Michael Buffer. But I didn't want to be Michael Buffer Jr. I wanted to be Bruce Buffer and have my own style, which I thankfully have developed over the years. And I told myself when I started announcing, if I didn't do that within 3 years, I would have quit. I didn't want to be, you know, that guy, you know, that was like, oh, that's that guy. He's his brother. No, that was not what I'm about. I'm Michael's manager. I don't ride his coattails. I sew them on and make sure he keeps going. So getting back to the other with the telemarketing thing, suddenly I'm looking at the owners driving up in their Porsches and their Ferraris and the sales manager with his feet on the desk making like, you know, $1,500 a week. And it's like, okay, this just looks too easy, right? So I observed everything it took. I became the sales manager within 2 months. I took his job. You know, set your goals, go for it, right? Sorry, it's survival of the fittest in business.
Right.
And then I basically met one of my good friends and another gentleman who was in the same business, and I started my first corporation when I was 19. And I started the same business a few miles away, new company, new corporation, the whole bit. But I was so motivating to the salespeople, and they enjoyed working for me so much that about 75% of their sales force came over to work my company. And then one day I realized that I'm being followed by a car. I don't know why this car is following me. They got a private detective on me, and I get hit with a lawsuit for $1 million at 19 years old. Now, getting hit for $1 million lawsuit today is a lot different due to all the experience I've had versus getting hit with 19 and not even knowing what's going on. It's like somebody's trying to kill you. You know, it's like a really crazy thing because you're just inexperienced. You don't expect it. So that wasn't one of the best summers of my life. But again, being the type of person I am, I'm figuring, how do I get out of this? It's like John Lennon says, there are no problems. There's only solutions. You know, what is the best way to get through this? Long story cut short, I wound up going back to work for the company, making more money, becoming part owner of the company. They dropped the lawsuit. They paid all my legal bills. And it was a great learning experience that became a profitable experience for me. And so then I started that. And eventually during my 30s, I had an import-export business. I even opened a company called Herbal Care with another partner of mine. And I became a distributor for Herbalife back then just to observe how they did it. Remember? Observe, learn, observe. Life is not that difficult, okay? People make it difficult by thinking they got to recreate the wheel, you know? Mm-hmm. KISS theory that we all know, keep it simple, Sam, keep it simple, Susan. There's, to me, all business is the same. It's just the product that's different. And market it correctly, especially within 1 mile radius of where your business is located. If everybody's your customer, you're a multimillionaire, right? So you got to concentrate on the basics. So I just went into that business and we did gangbusters. We made better products. We had a better marketing plan. And then as fate has it, 9 months after we opened, the government went after Herbalife, claiming that they're making false claims and there's caffeine in their products. So if you had the word herb in your name, and I don't mean today the word herb in your name, this is herb meant a whole different thing back then.
Right.
You basically was the kiss of death. So that was the end of that company. And I moved on, went back into telemarketing business. And then suddenly at age 28 to 29, I'm watching boxing and out comes this really good looking guy, you know, James Bond looks, debonair, something the boxing ring announcing has never had before. And saying, let's get ready to rumble. And I'm like, okay. And then his name came on the screen, Michael Buffer. And I'm like, okay, Michael Buffer, who's that? Right? I'm Buffer. I've seen every phone book in the United States because I had to have my salespeople, right, in the telemarketing rooms. And as natural back then, before the internet and everything we have today, everything was manual, you know, and I never saw my name in a phone book. So I'm like, who is this guy? So suddenly people are coming up to me because he's getting as big as the fighters and saying, is that your brother, the guy that goes, let's get ready to rumble? And I go, no, my brother's Brian. I don't know who that is. And after about 6 to 8 months, I'm driving with my dad. And I called up, excuse me, before that, I was calling Don King's offices, Bob Arum's offices, the boxing promoters, finding out where he lived, what happened. Turns out he lives in Jersey, near where I grew up in Philadelphia. And I said, things are just getting a little too close. And I go, Dad, you know, we're driving. And I said, Dad, I'm telling him everything I told you. And I said, do you know who this guy is? And I get this. I think that's your brother. I'm 28 years old, give or take, right? I would have driven us off the road had I been driving. It's like, what are you talking about? So I realized then he admitted to me something he never told me because he'd been married to my mom for forever, you know, 30 some years. And he said, son, I never told you, but during World War II, I was 20. I was married. I got married briefly, went overseas for 9 months. I came back. A child was born. Divorce ensued. Things happened. Last time I saw the child was when he was 2 and a half. And I think that's Michael. So Michael was in L.A. doing a fight at a place called the Reseda Country Club, a small venue, which if you ever saw the movie Boogie Nights, was the club they opened up the film with.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And I knew it was a small venue, so my brother Brian and I were with Dad watching boxing, as we always do, because we're huge boxing fans. And that was the water cooler conversation on a Monday back then, like UFC is today. And I said, Dad, why don't you call him, you know, see if it's him, right? So he called, left the message. Michael called back. They met for lunch, turned out to be his son. Right?
Crazy.
Then we get together, we meet. I'm a huge fan of this man. And he walks in, and here's my blood walking in. Here's a guy I'm a fan of. And one of my favorite sports, aside from surfing, because I've been into fighting my whole life. And we got along famously. And 4 years later, in life, I do everything with passion. Mm-hmm. Whether it's a girl I'm in love with, you know, obviously there should be passion in a relationship, mentally, physically, everything. But in business, you need passion too. You have to have passion for what you're doing. I always tell everybody, if you can find your passion and you can monetize it, then you won't be working. You'll be leading a lifestyle. And it's a life by design, which is how I've structured my life, because I do everything I do because I want to do and I love what I do. And I'm lucky enough to have established that. But at that point in my life, I was about 35 years old, 34, and I wasn't passionate. I was burned out. You know, I'm making a lot of money. I got a beach house. I got money in the bank. I got, you know, I'm living the life everybody wants to live, you know, and luckily I still am. But back then I had to make a choice, and I was going to see boxing events. And I was at an event in 1992. Pardon my long-windedness. I was at an event in 1992, which was the Riddick Bowe. If you're a boxing fan, Riddick Bowe, Evander Holyfield, one fight. They fought twice, and it was a Thomas and Max sold out. And I saw everybody go crazy when Michael announced and went into his famous, let's get ready to rumble. And I'm like, wow. A light bulb went off. I'm like, he hasn't made a hat. He hasn't made a t-shirt. This isn't even trademarked properly. We got to do something here. I went back to my room and incessantly, like in a movie, it's like I'm writing notes, you know, put them in the MBA course, football fields, make video games, toys, movies, TV shows, you know, all this different type of stuff and pages of it. And I'm like, I didn't go out. I didn't play blackjack. I didn't party. I just concentrated on this. And I got to him within a week later. And I said, Michael, I have an idea. I want to make you richer and more famous than you ever dreamed, and myself hopefully in the process. I want to properly trademark this phrase. You haven't done anything with it. I really believe this could become part of American culture, as it's already catching on the way it is, but we need to market it correctly. And to do that, I need to be your manager to watch over your entire career, and I need to be your partner 50-50 in everything we create. And I will make this happen, and I'm going to sell these two companies I own and give up with the money I have in the bank and give up everything I have. And he said, how are you going to do all that? I said, I really don't know. I said, but if I'm going to give all this up, you better believe I'll figure it out, right? And that was true. And I started traveling the country with him to events, shaking hands, taking names, going to trade shows, pitching people on using Let's Get Ready to Rumble, getting with attorneys. And one of my motivating factors back then was when Pat Riley and the Bulls won the NBA championship 3 times in a row, and he created 3-peat, right, which you may remember. And there was all these articles coming out about how he licensed it and made $1.5 million selling T-shirts and all this. You know, these things I used to read in quotes back then. And I thought, okay, that lit my fire. So I met with a licensing IP attorney and learned all about trademarks and what it takes. And that was where we moved forward. And I quit. And we had our first product within a year, which was a talking keychain and mug. And the big hit was the video game Ready to Rumble Boxing in 1999, which we sold like 3.5 million games over the next 3 years, and close to $100 million of sales. And just it was just crazy. It was a wild ride, and it still is. And that's where the business kept going. And I learned the business organically with that entrepreneurial attitude through trial and error. And you've got to pick up the phone. I'm cold calling. I can cover more bases in one day on the phone than most people can cover in a week. Right. And it's because of the training I had. That training I had earlier really helped me. And I applied all those principles I learned. Then I applied my own mental principles about what it takes to make things work. And I've been very proud and honored and humbled to say that I've been able to be part of the Let's Get Ready to Rumble brand all the way to where it is. Now we sold over $400 million in licensing ventures and all that together. That's not in our pockets. That's gross sales. Right. Obviously, we've done well. But I love when people quote that Michael's made $400 million. That just cracks me up. I should call him for a loan. But everything's good. And then I apply it to other things. So I built Michael's career. And when I say that all business is the same, the product is different, I'll give you a perfect example. I wanted to be an announcer back then. We agreed I wouldn't announce boxing, right? I said, that's okay. Something will come along. I've been in martial arts since I was 12. I fought more than I can remember. Not as a pro, but in other areas. I knew this was my world, right? But I got Michael into it first. I had him because my job as manager was to get him all the big events. So when UFC came on, it was the fastest growing pay-per-view ever. It hit like 350,000 buys. It was like the top 10 fastest growing pay-per-views of all time. And then Senator McCain, rest in peace, I have a lot of respect for the man, but back then he called us human cockfighting, and he fought to get us off TV, and we were taken off in demand, which was something like 60 million homes accessible. And then we were only on DirecTV, who thank God stuck with us. And that was only 16 million homes. So we went from doing massive amounts of buys to less buys. The company starts losing money. The internet and the loyal fan base kept us alive on the internet. And then Dana White and the Fertittas bought the UFC 4 years later after I started. And that influx of money and business acumen ability just took off. But then again, they started losing money. And they created the Ultimate Fighter TV show, which the finale of that first season just had like a 12 share of viewing on TV. And we just took off after that. But when I got Michael into the UFC, I signed a 3-fight agreement. And we had a huge deal with WCW Wrestling, which back then was the biggest thing happening, Sting, Hulk Hogan. So they saw him on that first show, and they had him come out, and he said, if it's not in the octagon, it's not real, right? Well, I go, I know I'm going to get a call on Monday, because back then in wrestling, when Hulk Hogan hit you 20 times in the face, you were supposed to believe it was real, because it was not called sports entertainment back then. It was, this is it, right? Somebody's going to die, or whatever.
Right, right.
They go, Bruce, what are you doing? You know, Michael's with us. He got this big contract. I said, hey, the contract allows him to do whatever he wants to do. I didn't think I had to call you, but I signed three fight deal. And they go, well, you have to make a decision. I said, well, I don't want to get in a legal hassle because you can't stop this contract. But I'll tell you what, Michael loves wrestling. I don't see where he can continue with this with the scheduling. So let us finish the three shows. Boom, everything's cool. They agreed. That was great. Then I realized now's my shot. Now I want to get in there. So I called the owner, Robert Meyerowitz. I'm like, Robert, you need a buffer in the octagon. I'm the one with the media connections. You're not getting certain things. I can help you build this brand, but I need to grow with you as the announcer. I want to be the announcer. This is my world. And it fell on deaf ears, right? So I got a videotape from a monster named Scott the Pitbull Ferrazzo, right? And this was in 1996, 6'1". Hands down to his ankles, looked like a cartoon character, right? 340 pounds, perfect for the UFC. So I sent the videotape off. As his manager, I got him into UFC 8 in Bayamon, Puerto Rico, February 16th, 1996. next week is my 24-year anniversary announcing the Octagon. So I call the owner up. I said, look, I'm coming down with my fighter. I put a tuxedo in my bag. Let me announce the prelims, show you what I got. I'm going to tell you again. I know what I can bring to the table for you, and I can grow with you as the announcer. I'm just not going to be the announcer. I'm going to do a lot of work for you. And deaf ears. So I see him at the party the night before. And listen, when you want something in life, you got to ask for it. So I hit him up again. I go, okay, Buff. Okay. Go ahead. Announce the prelims, right? So I did the prelims. Thought I did a good job. Look at it today. I just want to, you know, go like this. But thought I did a good job. And think they're going to hire me. They don't hire me, right? So now about 3 months go by. I'm in the hospital with my mother. Now remember, she just had a serious operation. Remember the scenes from Rocky when Adrian is, you know, she doesn't want to fight. She's having a baby or something. She goes into a coma. Whatever the couple scenarios were, and he's all worried beside the bed, and she wakes up and she goes, "Win," right? And he then it's like dun 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 dun. Yeah, the big training montage, and then he fights Creed, right? So I get a call in the hospital room. It's from the UFC, and they say, "Look, we need you in Alabama in 2 days. You can do the whole show." I go, I'm in the hospital with my mother. She's had a serious operation. My family's everything to me. I have to call you back. Mom heard the call, and she, I God is my witness. This is it. She's like, that's the call you've been waiting for. I go, yes, Mom. She goes, go. You got to go, right? I'm gone, right? With my mom's blessing, I go in and do the show, think I do a good job, come back. Are they going to hire me? No, they hire somebody else. They hire a friend of the producer named, I think his name is Manny Garcia. Nice guy, good voice. A little nervous in the service, said names wrong, gave me all the fuel to call up and say, what are you doing? 6 months go by or so, I get a call. They go, look, they're filming the TV show Friends, and they want the real announcer. Warner Brothers is coming down to your house if it's okay to pick up tape and audio, see if they want to cast you. So then I get a call from Warner Brothers. We want to cast you. You're going to co-star as yourself on the TV show Friends. It's called The Ultimate Fighting Champion. They have Jon Favreau on, Tank Abbott, Big John McCarthy. I still get residual checks to this day every month. This was 1996. You know, it's a big show. So I co-starred on the show, but I called the owner again. I said, look, we got to talk. Meet me at lunch. I meet him at lunch. I said, Robert, I feel like a girl waiting to be asked to the prom. I keep telling you I want this job. I'm going to ask you one more time, because now I'm co-starring on this show. It's the biggest publicity you've ever gotten. It says co-starring Bruce Buffer as the announcer. That way people are going to think, let's ride this tail, let's go, and let's make a deal. Best poker hand I ever played in my life. And then I announced every show up until maybe 6-7 years ago when there were so many. I have a backup announcer that does about 6 or 7 shows a year. And I'll do them, but if they want to rest me, I'll go off and do NASCAR. I did ASU basketball last week. I mean, that's what I do. I love to work. So it's all worked out, my friend. But the key note here is passion. Asking for the job, setting your goals, learning about them. So when you set on that path, like I say on my podcast every week, you be the best you can be. Whether you're number one is another subject matter, and that's great. But if you're the best you can be and do the best job you can, then you're winning, right? It's all a winning attitude.
So you're obviously world class at what you do, Bruce. And that's
my mom thinks so and you think so, I'm okay.
Hey, that's all that matters, right? You know, and a lot of people say they want to be world class, but the work, the grind, the grit, the repetition that goes into being a world class entrepreneur, a world class fighter, a world class announcer is a whole nother level and tier of discipline. What does your routine look like on a daily basis? Is it something that you see other people can easily opt into and it's really that simple? Or are you doing something secret behind there that other people may be able to benefit from?
I have my own methodology of what I do. I don't want to sound cocky in saying this, and I don't mean to be, but I would challenge anybody to have my work ethic and passion for what I do. And no matter what you choose in life, work ethic, I get back to passion, self-motivation, getting the job done. You know, in life, I believe that we are all our own God. I'm not getting religious here. I'm talking about the word God. G-O-D to me stands for governor of my own destiny. ultimately, no matter who I believe in, who I get support from, ultimately, all of us have to make the final decision ourselves, right? So you have to believe in yourself. You have to go for it. I'm very tenacious. I wear people out sometimes when they're around me because I just get everything done, you know? I believe that if you give somebody 8 hours to do a four-hour job, they will take 8 hours. Mm-hmm. If you give them 4 hours to do an eight-hour job, knowing it means their job, they will get it done in 4 hours, okay? It's all attitude. And you've got to keep consistent because you're going to have to deal with the pains of people doubting you, people loving you on the way up. And then when you get there, they can't wait to see you fail. You know, this very common human nature. You just got to stand tall and just believe in yourself and not change your principles and stay consistent. Daily routine. I wake up and my phrase, it's time, that I say in the UFC is a phrase I've said to myself many years before when I would shave or, you know, look at my mug in the morning and say, okay, it's time to have the greatest day possible. Because I truly believe, and you'll never hear me talk about my laurels. Yeah, I'll talk about accomplishments because you'll ask me questions and stuff, and those are documented. But when I go out in the octagon every night and respect that one area of my life and work that I do, because I run a variety of different business ventures, when I step into that octagon every night, like last Saturday with John Jones in Houston, to me, that's the first night. That's the first time I'm going in there. I have to prove to Dana White, the people I work for, the fans, and especially the great warriors, female and male fighters that I'm announcing, and to myself that I deserve this job. Mm-hmm. So that's my attitude. And you'll see me, if you ever watch around the octagon, you know, I'm sitting there 6 hours. I'm moving. I'm getting loose. I'm getting ready to do this, you know, and I'm enjoying talking to the fans. And I love the experience, it's passion. And when my passion wanes and my drive, you know, goes down for what I do, then in all due honesty, I think it's best that I just retire. Because I can't travel around the world 35 times a year like James Bond, not having to kill anybody, putting a tuxedo in a bag, right? And do this without passion. This is not, it looks easy, I'm sure. It looks fun. Oh, look at all the fun. He's not really working. No, everybody in that show is working. This is a very well-oiled machine. And if you add in the travel and the sacrifice you have to make being away from your loved ones and your family and doing business in Australia, you know, 2 days ahead, 2 days back, trying to coordinate. It's crazy. Thank God for email and computers and all this stuff. Because, again, 27 years ago when I was with Michael and we didn't have this, or 30 years ago and I'm sending out 300 faxes manually at night to let everybody know what's going on. Well, you know, business has changed. We have all the tools right now where you can just work out of your home and run an entire mid-sized corporation, right? That's what I do, you know? Name of the game.
There we go. James Bond right there, man. So I know we got to be respectful of your time. I want to fit a few more questions into it. Is that okay? We got some time with you? Cool. You know, I look at you and you do make it look effortless. And you look at people like Kobe. You look at people at the top of their craft, whether it's entrepreneurs, athletes, celebrities who are the best of the best, those world-class individuals. And it comes back to the details and the time put in and obviously your commitment to excellence. Who have been some of the people around you in business or athletes or sports or your industry that have inspired you, and what have you pulled from them?
Well, obviously, my legendary brother, Michael Buffer, you know, really stimulated my want to be an announcer. And again, I get back to the fact that I wasn't interested in being a copycat.
Yeah.
Many people have copied Michael. I can go on to so many stories. And that's a mark because he stands out. And now people are copying me and trying to announce in the physical, somewhat passionate way that I announce. I tell them to be careful because they try to do my moves. It's like, you're going to blow a hip, buddy. Just be. Anyway, all kidding aside, you know, I gather motivation from other people, even down to the story of Sylvester Stallone. And when he wrote Rocky and he had $250 in the bank and they offered him $250,000, I think it was. And he turned it down because he wanted to star in the movie, right? Here was a chance. He's broke. He could have got $250,000, but no, he wanted to star in the movie, okay? So he did that, went on to win the Oscar and all that came with it. And then there was the launching of an amazing career. I love that attitude for standing up for yourself and sticking what you believe in. One time I was making a movie with Warner Brothers called Ready to Rumble, where they wanted to license the trademark for the title. And they would call me up and I said, okay, well, I want this, this, and this. well, we'll give you this because I'm sure you want to make this movie. I go, you know what? Go make your movie. It's okay. You want to meet me here? Yeah, I'd love to make the movie. But I'm not one of those guys who just wants to be in a movie or be part of a movie. You know, there's much more here. Stand up for what you believe. Hold on to what you believe. And when I held that, it, over the course of 3 months, they came back and gave Michael and I everything that I wanted, right? So you got to stand up for yourself. So I love that. I love the Arnold Schwarzenegger story. You know, going to the University of Wisconsin, he and his buddy Franco Colombo laying bricks and doing the work they did. They were, I think, millionaires before they ever moved out here to Venice, California, as entrepreneurs, right? So I learned from other people, and I love mavericks in business. I love people that set the pace, that stand out. You know, you can look at certain people in life. Dana White's a maverick, right? Vince McMahon, like him or not, he's a maverick. You know, you look at other companies that have had figureheads that lead those companies. I like that. I like that. So, you know, I just seeing success motivates me. And I have a 3-foot theory. Everybody around me, if I work with you, I want you to be happy, make money, be prosperous, be healthy. And I think of that first before myself, because it'll all come back to me. If everybody I work with is making money, if the salesman I'm closing deals for, and as a sales manager and owner of a sales company, I'm helping them be the best they can be and make the most money, I know if they make a lot of money, it'll all come back to me. Not how much money can I make? You know, I made more than you. No. You want everybody to be successful on your team. Everybody. And if that jealousy and green monster starts getting into your business, it's going to affect your business. Don't be jealous of people that are successful. Learn from them. Observe them. Why are they successful? Every time I walk in a room or I start a business, I'll look at the three top people in that business or the three businesses in that industry. I'll find out the information I can, and I'll try to learn why are they successful. Then you apply those principles along with the basic principles of business I mentioned earlier, and you form your path, right? That's learning from others.
Yep.
There's no, I don't believe there's any secrets. It's all been done, you know? Yeah. Technology comes out. Oh, great. There's a new app. Oh, biggie. Okay, great. That's wonderful. That's the world in which we live. Instagram and Twitter is creating the social media marketing, which has now become very important, as nauseating to me as it is at times, with people being relevant to get their million followers with absolutely no talent, right? But that's the world we live in.
Right.
And now you've got to apply yourself and get those people that have those followers to represent your company, because you're dealing with a direct marketing to a direct qualified customer potentially, versus a full page ad in a magazine or a TV commercial, which I call ego advertising, and you're wasting your money.
For entrepreneurs today, the best piece of advice that you could give them that still rings true, has been one of those pieces of advice that you always fall back on, tried and true and tested, that young entrepreneurs, small business owners that are really starting to get that momentum that they can implement, they can latch on to. What do you tell them?
Look in the mirror and be realistic. Don't make unrealistic goals.
Don't smoke the hopium.
Don't. I've heard that. That's funny. Don't smoke the hopium. I may use that. Don't smoke the hopium. Don't get caught up in the Kool-Aid, you know, talk. The bottom line is, you know, when you're at a presentation, like even like in an Herbalife meeting, and they walk somebody across the stage, hey, they made $1 million last month. Well, you know what? That was 1% of 1% of the people who work at Herbalife. And that's great. It's motivating. Be realistic. What is your goal? I think a young entrepreneur's goal should be to reach a average income of $50,000 a year, give or take what it is. Once you reach 50, then you know $100,000 is attainable, right? Not, I want to make $1 million at the end of the year. Oh, that'd be great. I hope you do. I really do. But be realistic.
Yeah.
You know, take goal steps in your goals. Be realistic, set the goal, achieve the goal, then go to the next goal. But also be realistic about the time you spend in this business, because if you don't achieve your goals and it's not coming together, then you've got to be realistic, because sometimes you have to give it up. Sometimes you might say, now it's time to go somewhere else. It's not working, right? Don't drive yourself into the ground. Make sure you got that pot of gold. You can see that pot of gold right there, and you're going for it. And stand tall. Just stand tall and believe in yourself, and don't let people tell you. Everybody's going to tell you you're going to fail or this, that. They're not the ones doing your job. They're not the ones paying your bills. Okay. You're the one paying your bills. You're the one doing your job. You're the one that believes in yourself. If you're going to be the entrepreneur and you're going to start a business on your own and stand out for your business, then you have a chance to be a bit of a maverick yourself and create groundwork that nobody's created before and say, hey, I did it. Look at me. Right. If I can do it, you can do it too. You know, that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
When you're running a business, what I found too is very important. As an owner, you should know every aspect of that business. If a box is being packed or a phone call is being made, you should be the one that's the expert at packing that box and making that phone call. If you're showing an employee how to do their job, you should be an expert at doing their job. In Europe and Germany, you'll go to a hotel, these small hotels, you'll see the girl check in. Suddenly she's cleaning her room the next day. Suddenly she's serving you in the restaurant, right? Because they have to learn the entire process of that hotel. Well, I believe that's, and I learned that at a young age. I think it's the way it should be for your business. Teach by example, but teach how to teach how to teach. That way, when new people come in, then your people below you are applying the same principles you've taught them. And that way your business stays uniform because people are following your principles. It's your business and you should be the leader showing them how to do it.
I love that. That's great advice for anybody that is looking to scale and build something that's going to be sustainable, repeatable, scalable, all amazing things there. As you are the maverick for your business, your brand, what's next for Bruce Buffer? Moving on. I mean, you got money, you got wealth, you got all kinds of amazing things in your life.
I got bills too.
you got bills to pay for sure. What's next for the Bruce Buffer brand and why are you still pushing the way you're pushing?
Well, I'm pushing the way I'm pushing because of my passion. I love it. That's simple as that. I'm pushing what I do because, yes, I do well and I want to do better. I never settle, you know? To me, again, I reach a point, now it's time to go to the next point. I love competition. I love the fact that I'm going for something and making a mark in my life. I'm growing with the UFC. The UFC is, you know, I'm part of a sport that was created and became mainstream. Who gets to do that, right?
Amazing.
So I'm not going anywhere. I've got 10 or more years there. I'm 62 now, but I'll definitely be working past 70. I've been an athlete my whole life. As long as I'm healthy and stay in shape, get the job done so I can do those moves.
There we go, baby. You're not going to throw a hip out anytime soon, right?
Oh, God. I've already blown ACLs and, you know, I've done this show with one leg, blown out back. Hunter, you have no, you don't know because yeah. The show must go on. I don't tell anybody. I just go do my work, right? Get it done.
True professional.
So, that's the way it should be. So growing with that, I have aspirations in the entertainment industry, but I'm coming out with a couple of really good products this year. I can't
tell us more
right now.
Okay.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. I just, one thing in life, and this is good for entrepreneurs, until that deal is signed and in process, don't talk about it.
I love that.
Yeah. If you got some close friends and you want to get some feedback, sure. But like right now, I think I would jinx it if I told you, and it's exciting. I think I would jinx it. So I have my principles. I have to stick to my principles.
I like that though, because a lot of people want to count the chickens before they hatch, right? And that could be disappointing. That could also be damaging to your brand, to your momentum, to your psyche.
It's not good.
So amazing stuff. Well, I know so many people love you, are fans of you, not only for, you know, this persona you've built and this brand you've built inside the Octagon, but you are a, you know, truly resumed, an impressive business owner. You're a community member. You contribute to so many, charities and causes. And one of the things why I'm a big fan is, in general, I call it the whole life millionaire. Not only are you a killer in business and financially, you've built this abundance in your life, but you live like a millionaire intentionally in all areas of your life. And I think those are things that, again, we need more leaders, more people that have a greater platform and presence to go and have that ripple effect and inspire so many people as you do. So for those that want to continue following you, obviously on social media, all the UFC fans, but as well as maybe to hear more about what kind of cool, exciting business stuff you have going on, what's the best place for them to do that, Bruce?
First off, thank you for all the kind words. Really appreciate it,
Matt. I mean it.
Thank you, sir. I really, really appreciate that. And before I go into that, I just want to say that one of the other things that's really helped me with my 3-foot theory is that I explained earlier, I treat everybody with respect. I treat people the way I want to be treated. I believe we're all equal. And the way to prove that we're different is to stand out, like we've been discussing on the show. Granted, some people are blessed with, you know, they can run the 100-yard dash in 9 seconds and they can dunk a basketball and, you know, they can do all that. Granted, that's superior athletic ability or, you know, whatever. But really, we're all created equal. So we all have the same shot. It's about how you approach it. Do you want to be the leader, which is usually 2% of the population, give or take? Do you want to be the follower? It's all up to you. Either way, you can still lead an amazing life. Just find what you want to do, you know? And I love doing motivational speeches and telling my story and motivating people. And a motivational speaker, when they talk, whether they have an effect on somebody for 20 seconds, 20 minutes, 20 years, or 20 days, you did your job. It's up to those people to make it work, right? So for me, if you want to check out with me, go to brucebuffer.com. There I have information on the different services I offer, such as a business taken off really well. Is a couple years ago, I started doing championship intros, like I'm introducing you in the cage as a champion. And I do audios and videos. I made a special price for Christmas. And so many orders came in and everything that we just made it into a full business now. So you can get weddings and birthday wishes, birth of babies, you know, coming out now, you know, all this kind of stuff.
That's awesome.
All these different things are offered at brucebuffer.com, or just the simple audio or video championship intro, which is, if you're a UFC fan, it's a keepsake. I know I'm blowing my own horn, but they tell me, well, I get tears in my eyes from the thank you notes that come in. It's so amazing. They love it. That makes me happy. And then partial proceeds go to animal, children, and military charities, you know? So and cool. I do them very inexpensively because, trust me, I've been paid a lot more for this. But the fans spend all their hard money and their time, and they're such an amazing group living this UFC lifestyle. I just want to give back, you know, as best I can. So check me out at brucebuffer.com, Instagram, Bruce Buffer UFC, Twitter, Facebook on there. I don't answer on Facebook. I've never really been a Facebook person. But Instagram, you know, is probably where I do all my posting.
Well, we'll be sure to include all of Bruce's contact information, websites, links, handles, all that good stuff in the show notes at millionairemindcast.com. Bruce, man, I'm rooting for you, brother. It's truly amazing to see the impact you've had across many generations, age demographics, ethnicities, races. I mean, when somebody can transcend that, that's a truly special person, in my opinion. And right. I believe you use your platform for the benefit and good that, you know, you hope great influential leaders would. And so just big props to you. Thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule. And final question for you. You get to the end of the road and you're looking in your rearview mirror behind you. What do you want to see, or what do you hope is said that helps you go rest easy and say that was a life well lived?
He always did the best. He always, let's see. Oh, I see. Oh, when I'm gone. Okay. I would just like people to respect me and know that I always did my best. Like me or not, I always did my best. And I always respected everybody that I came in contact with. You know, that's it. Very humble. I think I don't like cockiness. I don't like arrogance. I'm not caught up in that celebrity term. I love the fact I don't have to stand in line in Vegas. That's a good thing.
Yeah, but, right.
But, you know, I got the time of day for everybody. Have you ever seen me at a show? I mean, there's kids or people, they want this. I don't care if I take 1,000 pictures. Again, I remember when it was crickets and nobody said anything, right? Never. Here's another thing, entrepreneurs. Never forget where you came from. Never forget where you came from, okay? You might not understand what I mean by that, but someday you will.
If anybody had the platform to toot their own horn or read their own press clippings, it'd be you. And humility is one word that I think exemplifies you. Bruce Buffer, thanks so much, man.
Oh, thanks so much. I really appreciate it, Matthew. Real pleasure being on your show.
Thank you so much. Well, that wraps up this week's episode. Hopefully you enjoyed that interview and got some massive value from it. Just one thing can completely transform the path that you are on. And if you did, be sure to share it with somebody else. Be sure to give this gift to somebody else that needs to hear this today. And also be sure to tag our guest to let them know what they shared was appreciated, that it impacted you in some way. If you haven't entered our monthly giveaway of over $1,100 in prizes each and every month, we pick one listener. Be sure to head over to go.millionairemindcast.com and check out all the amazing prizes in that contest and giveaway and enter yourself. Also, if you and I haven't connected yet, be sure to text me. You can text me at 844 847-1555. Yes, I answer and respond to every text individually. I personally love connecting with all the listeners of the show. I love hearing what big goals and what big dreams you're marching towards. And most importantly, I love knowing more about how I can support you. So if I haven't gotten to connect with you yet, don't be shy. I want to connect with you. I want to hear what you're up to. Text me at 844-447-1555. Last, be sure to head over to therichlifeacademy.com to check out all the amazing free and paid products that we offer to our Millionaire Mindcast family, from one-on-one coaching with me, to courses from our guests, all kinds of free content and downloads, upcoming event info on how you can connect with us live in person at some of our events and workshops, and all kinds of other valuable free tools and resources to help you on your wealth building journey. Be sure to check all those out at therichlifeacademy.com. If you have any questions, just text me at 844-447-1555. But if you're truly serious about taking your life, your business, your wealth to the next level, you're not just looking to keep learning, but you want to start taking action and have accountability and support and a community around you, then getting involved inside our community and getting in proximity to other people just like you is going to be the accelerator you need to get to that next level. It's going to be an absolute must. You can do that over at therichlifeacademy.com. With that being said, until next time, keep investing in yourself and your wealth on your march to a million and beyond. Cheers, my friends.